actually, although we like to say, oh, as long as you voted, nah, it matter. Who you vote for?
Well.
Oh, God.
Alex.
Yes.
I hear the disappointment.
It's the trapologist coming through with the tea. We coming with the news, the culture, you wait and see. Classy trap queens are the only thing to beat. If you hear the laughing vibe, come take a seat and...
It's the Trapologist. We're back at it. I'm Kay.
And I'm Key.
And you can check us on social media at The Trapologist. That's on Facebook. That's on Instagram. That's on Twitter. You know, everywhere out here at The Trapologist. Sponsors, we're going to have some news coming up for you soon. We're going to have some sponsors, some affiliates. And if you're in, you're wondering like where you can reach us at for sponsorships, you can hit us at thetrapologist@gmail.com. And I'd like to introduce our special guest, or let him introduce himself.
I'd rather you introduce me.
Oh, see, this is why we can't have nice things. So we have Alex of In My Bag podcast, and he also has another podcast. Alex, would you like to, you know, introduce it?
Sure. First off, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
My podcasts are, yes, the In My Bag podcast, where me and my homie Kenny, we talk about sports and other pop culture, you know, whatever comes to our mind. And we'll be back really soon. So check that out. We talk NBA, NFL. Kenny's a big MMA guy. I'm a big like sports gambling guy. So we kind of like touch on those things that we like to do. The second podcast is called the Young and Reckless podcast, where me and my co-host Shay talk about, you know, aspects of life, kind of like the Trapologist, but we take it from a millennial perspective. She's an older millennial. I'm on the younger end of millennials. Yeah. So we kind of talk about our own perspectives and then explain the shared consciousness of the generation as a whole. So that's what I'm on. You know, I also do other stuff that's not as important.
Okay, we're not going to talk about your whole life, sir. Question is, but did you vote though?
I voted before you did.
Okay, that's fine. As long as everybody get their vote in.
Actually, although we like to say, oh, as long as you voted, nah, it matter. Who you vote for?
Well,
oh God,
never mind. I don't want to know.
Okay,
no, Alex is a reasonable person. Alex,
Alex.
Yes.
I hear the disappointment.
Alex. All right. You, yeah. You know, here we go. Easy question. Red or blue?
Well, that's not an easy question because I'm
just mad I lived at the same time.
I'm actually apolitical, so I don't believe in like parties. I think that's just insane, like an insane concept that doesn't actually produce progress or accurate representation.
But there's one person that is blue and there's one that is red. So what
that's correct
did you choose?
Did you vote for one of those parties?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
I'm not dumb. I'm not gonna vote for somebody that's not a major
kind. I mean, 'cause the way you were sounding, I thought you was about to do like a green party or independent or something.
No.
You voted for Trump, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hey, you can say. All right. Key, you voted.
I did vote.
Okay. All right. Gang, gang, gang. Yeah. So everybody listening, make sure you vote. So you still have a couple of days before the second to make sure your voice is heard.
Can I say something really quick about voting, though?
Yeah.
Okay. So I know that the presidential election is what everyone's talking about and what's on our minds. But your local election is just as impactful as, actually more impactful than the presidential election.
Thanks.
So before you vote, definitely take your time, look at all the candidates all the way down the ballot, and make sure you know who you're voting for each position. Because your city council, your mayor, your judges affect your everyday life, while the president might have some overarching effects. But if we start locally and getting the progress we want to see in our own towns and our own counties, and then we can move towards the executive branch. And that's where the change is going to happen.
Yes, sir.
So now on to our main event. Bum-ba-da-dum. Protect Black Men. So it's not just a hashtag. We've been seeing this on Twitter, social medias lately. As a Black man, a quick synopsis of what Protect Black Men means to you.
That's a really good question because I don't necessarily know. I think protecting Black men means to ensure that they have what they need to grow in a healthy fashion.
Okay. I like that. Key?
I agree. I feel like protecting Black men, allowing Black men the same compassion that we have towards our Black women, as far as, you know, all the aspects that we will talk about. So physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, just all around, and extending that same compassion, as I've said.
And then even that's questionable, but we'll save that for another episode, the compassion towards Black women. Yeah. But for Black men, y'all are the topic today. So physically, we don't need to be reminded there's been countless shootings involving Black males with the police. So most recently in Philly, Walter Wallace Jr., 27, killed by police. They said he had a knife and he was in a mental health crisis at the time he was murdered. And his family was kind of at the scene, like trying to convey that information to the officers. But there's like a bunch of questionable like aspects to that murder. What have y'all heard, or what are y'all's thoughts?
Well, I've just heard about the incident in general. I listened to a few different podcasts and one of them touched on it. It's a tragedy because even when he had an advocate there, like his mother trying to de-escalate the situation, and the police officers escalated even further and ultimately ending in his life being taken away, it's hard to think what more can anyone do when these officers have a license to kill and use it at their discretion very liberally.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't necessarily understand why there was a police officer at the scene in the first place rather than a CIT officer, which CIT officers deal more with like mental health crises and stuff like that. So I guess I'm kind of disconnected from his personal story, although I am connected overall into the other tragedies and stuff like that.
I think the answer to your question is because of funding. So like a lot of those types of officers, there's special training required, and that requires funding that oftentimes that funding is funneled into the regular police departments instead of like social workers and emergency behavioral health responders and things like that. So this young man did have a mental health disorder and he was reported to be in crises at the time. The officers also didn't have any tasers, so their only weapon that they had available were handguns. And the Philly Police Department actually only has about half of the amount of tasers as they have active police officers, which is wild. So even if they wanted to tase him, instead they didn't have any tasers, which I just find crazy. We often talk about domestic abuse, but don't really mention the men side of it too. Like men get abused. So I think being more open and more willing to listen to kind of non-traditional or things you wouldn't typically think about in that aspect. Like somebody tells you something, kind of take it serious and see if you can help.
Absolutely. Especially when it comes to like, even though you're talking about domestic abuse, when it comes to like even like sexual assault, well, I guess to sexually later, but like physically, so like rape and all that other stuff, like I feel like a lot of people make jokes about it, Like,
yeah.
Okay, haha. So you didn't like it, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, nobody deserves to be sexually assaulted, no matter the gender, no matter the sex, whatever. So that's definitely an area where we need to protect our Black men.
Yeah. And then, like, kind of bouncing off of that, like, sexually. So a lot of guys, like, tell stories about, like, oh, when I was 15, I smashed this, like, 24-year-old. Like, bruh, that's, like, I don't know how you felt about that or if you ever thought about that, but that's statutory rape.
Right.
Oh, if you smashing a lot of women, like, you out here, you doing it, you the boss or whatever. But I think when it comes to, like, people taking advantage of younger men, we kind of need to maybe step away from that mentality and be like, like, if this roles were reversed, would I be okay with that?
Yeah.
Did y'all see the Adele skit on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Bruh. Oh man, like, I'm so upset. Like, I keep having to cancel all these people that I musically like. So Adele, for everybody who's listening, they may have not seen the skit. She was on Saturday Night Live. you know how they do skits or whatever, whatever. They had this skit where they were like, oh, travel to Africa. So, all right, that's already a warning sign. Like, what the fuck y'all up here talking about travel to Africa? So travel to Africa. And there's like, yeah, when I was divorced and retired, I went to Africa and found lots of long bamboo and basically like talking about Black men got big dicks and like I went here to have sex with Black men and this is what you do after you get divorced, like kind of fetishizing like Black men and just like, girl, what are you doing? Like, this ain't funny. Like, there's a whole host of shit going on in Africa that if you want to talk about Black men, you could talk about that. But like, I was just kind of over it. What'd you think about it since you saw it, Key?
I ain't gonna hold you. I laughed a couple times. I didn't laugh because I didn't laugh because I'm like, okay, you're over sexualizing Black men. I just have really dark humor. And although I thought about, okay, I just feel like it was inappropriate. I feel like, yes, Saturday Night Live. Like, does skits like this and ha ha ha, but I feel like it's just not the right time. Like, it's one of those read the room type of time.
Read the room, ho, it's not the time. Like,
especially just the climate, like the racial climate we're in now, plus the stuff going on in Africa. It's like, okay, this is not the time for this. So, although I thought some aspects of it were funny, but I also laugh when other people laugh. So, whenever she was going out of character, that kind of made me chuckle a little bit. But overall, I can understand why people would have taken offense to it because they should have read the room and that wasn't the right time to do a skit that way.
Yeah, and then Adele also been slightly problematic earlier this year with her dressing up for Carnival with her little Bantu knots and, you know, just appropriating Jamaican culture. I wasn't, like, super duper mad at that, but she did look foolish. she did. Did y'all see the pictures?
Yeah, she looked crazy.
As hell. Like, who put these Bantu knots in your hair?
I'm weak.
And, like, she just looked out of place. And then, what's that dude named Tom Hanks' son? They just need to both sit down. He ain't got nothing to do with this, but it
reminds me. What did his son do?
What? You ain't seen he out here talking in patois and all this shit?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yes. Like, this happened like over a year ago, but girl, look it up.
Yeah, I barely remember that now.
Yeah, and then he was talking like, no, I'm from here, nigga. Tom Hanks is your dad. Like, no, you're not. Like, you can stop. Yeah, you gotta look at it. Like, it's almost comical, but at the same time, like, really? Like, you ain't nothing else you can do? Like, you just wanna walk around here. And then he be like talking like that for real, like he from Jamaica. Like, I know there's white people in Jamaica, but you're not one of them, sir. Among the topic of like sexual fetishization of Black men, like not only Black men but Black culture in general, how do y'all have any thoughts about the term BBC?
My mother listens to this podcast, so no.
I almost made a comment, but I will not.
I mean, in general, I'm not really comfortable with that term. I don't even like the term ebony. Like, I feel like that's been taken from the community and turned into something that's not special or doesn't accurately identify, you know, the diaspora, if you will.
Yeah. Like, I personally don't feel any way about BBC, but I've, like, seen a lot of people lately, like, I don't know if it's because of the climate or whatever, like, count it as being, like, fetishized or whatever. But...
Well, in that industry, it is fetishized.
Yeah, but, like, sometimes it's not. Like, other black women will be like, oh, BBC. Like,
I feel like...
Sure.
I feel like... Now, just going based off of my Twitter timeline and, you know, everybody been retweeting and liking their stuff or whatever. A lot of the times I do see, and maybe it's just my timeline, but BBC and like this smaller, white, petite woman. So it does kind of seem like it kind of throws that aspect, especially with Adele's skit. And then as Alex was saying, as far as Ebony, I feel the same way. Like when I think of Ebony, I don't think of anything other than
a category on Pornhub.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, this shit wild. Like, so everybody be like BBC, BBC, but y'all don't really care, like, about, y'all only care about the dick. Like, that's the problem. Like, I guess, you know, like, you care about BBCs, but you don't care about the person.
Yeah.
Which is inherently wrong. But it's not new to black culture. And then race fetishes. So not only like BBCs, but like some people have like, I mean, just race fetishes to like, oh, like they only want to have sex with you because you're a certain race. And I feel like that goes like multiple ways. So like sometimes black men fetishize like women of Latina descent, or like black women fetishize like white men and all kind of stuff. But
that's wild. I just think, I never heard that for real.
Yeah, I think it definitely exists. And I think it goes across the board for every race. For like, there's black women can also fetishize black men because they think they're trying to, you know, do right by them, but in essence they're kind of taking it a step too far, whereas you're now excluding other people. And that becomes problematic. And so that then it in turn comes back to the black man and like, okay, now you're just something that this woman wants instead of just a person that she wants to spend time with.
So, okay, but question.
Go ahead.
So if I am a woman who will only sleep with a person of a certain race. So, okay, as a black woman, I will only sleep with the black man. Am I actually internalizing a race fetish?
I don't think
so. Before I answer that, I'm gonna, okay, all of that what you just said, and I'm just gonna ask you why.
Because
why do you choose that?
I mean, I feel like, well, first of all, you know, I will be married to a black man, so
why?
I feel like I just want my babies, like, okay, let me try. I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to put this in a different way because I don't want you to say
it. Say it. Like, how you gonna say it?
I don't know. Well, first of all, it's just my preference. Like, I don't foresee myself dating outside of my race, marrying outside of my race. So therefore, why am I gonna sleep outside of my race?
Why don't you see yourself dating outside of your race?
Because I personally prefer to raise black children. 100% black children, and that's just me.
But why?
Because
why only 100% black children?
I don't know. I feel like just my background, like I came from 100% black family, so I just want to do the same.
And I think it's fine to have a preference, like as long as you're not fetishizing it, which I don't think that counts as an example of fetishization. Like, I don't get aroused because, oh, I'm thinking about this.
let me jump in there really quick.
Saying that there's like, I don't see any other race as attractive but black people. I'm not saying that because there's attractive white people, but me, like, yes, I can be physically attracted to you and maybe intellectually attracted to you, but I'm not sexually attracted to you, and I don't get, you know, I don't know. Oh my gosh, I feel like,
so, all right, let me jump in there really quick. Okay, so you say you have a preference. The word preference means that you are choosing something over another thing. But in that, it means you, the other things are still an option. So if you're excluding things, that means you don't have a preference.
You know, I got in a Twitter argument about this.
They're
the same thing. But I don't know.
I feel like I disagree.
Well, that's... I think you disagree because you're trying to defend your position.
No, listen. Okay, so, and then I'll give my example of why. So a preference per, let me see, this is Oxford Languages, is a greater liking or, a greater liking for one alternative over another. So that's it. Like, I just happen to like this more.
But what I just said is, if you're not including anything else, then it's not a preference. There has to be another option for you.
There are other options. She's just choosing the other ones.
Like, no, I don't think inherently there is another option because she's not even open to the thought of it, of their other options.
She acknowledges the other options.
No, that's not.
I feel like I do acknowledge the other.
But you're excluding them, though. I feel like you're blatantly excluding everyone else. I feel
like it will be excluding them if she didn't even like acknowledge your presence.
No, it's excluding because she's not even letting them be able to be chosen.
But
maybe they were chosen that way.
Yeah. Like, definitely, I feel like the way I feel is I feel like I'm defending something because I inherently feel like it would be wrong to be labeled something. But at this point, not saying that you are trying to label me, but I'm talking about in general, like just like society type of term. Nobody wants to be labeled something that has a negative connotation, but I guess that's just how it is. Because me personally, not saying that white men don't know my struggle, but you don't. Oh. So I just feel like a black man, that, not saying that we have to struggle together, but I feel like you would be more empathetic to my situation. And I just, me personally, I want to raise children who, once again, I keep saying look like me as far as like my skin tone. And I mean, they may come out lighter, whatever. I don't really know. But to have the conversations that I would still have, like, I don't know. I just, for me, when I think of my little keys running around, they look like me.
So that's also my preference, but like you kind of touched on it. I want someone who I don't have to explain regular stuff to. Like, I shouldn't have, like, I prefer not to explain why my hair shrinks up when it's wet. Why do I feel like when I go to the doctor's office, they may be discriminating against me? Like, I don't want to be with someone that I have to explain some of the nuances of black culture that if I were with a black man, that he would already know from his life experiences.
Okay, so.
Which I know is not.
No, I personally understand every word you all are saying, but from the outside looking in, it sounds like y'all don't want to do the work.
What?
What word?
The work of, you know, bringing someone into your life and teaching them how to be there.
So, just from a personal, from a black man, like, you're still doing that work. It's just a different kind of work.
Yeah.
Especially
instead of starting from like negative 15, maybe we're starting at a 2.
Yeah, I feel like no matter what, everybody you meet, I mean, you have to teach them how to love you properly, how to care for you. But I do feel as with different races, there's like she said, there's different work to be done. So when I'm getting ready for bed, you know why this bonnet or this scarf do-rag is on my head. I don't want to spend every minute of my life answering a question regarding to my race. I feel like I'm defending myself for life. I don't.
Well, that's also assuming that that person won't already know.
I think from my personal life experiences, I can guarantee, like, just from my own personal experience, unless they've like dated several black women or black whatever in the past, like, there's gonna be hella questions.
And I'm all for biracial, interracial, whatever.
Yeah,
all for. Yeah. But for
except for yourself.
Exactly. For me personally, that is not what I want for me.
Okay.
And that's fine.
Sure.
But so I appreciate your differing views. So you said something that was interesting to me. You said that black women can also fetishize black men. And I want to hear an example of that.
Well, there's all kinds of examples.
I know. I'm asking for just one.
Well, I have seen, okay, I'm just going to strip this example down for the sake of the example.
All right.
Like when, like, let's say a black woman is talking about Denzel and like, oh, Denzel's so fine. Oh, Denzel can have my babies. Not Denzel's a great person, a great, you know, humanitarian, a great actor, an artist, a Renaissance man. He can just sire my children.
Not anybody.
But he look good.
And it's not like, oh, this black chocolate man. Like, this nigga just look good.
But you asked me for example. That is an example of fetishizing because you're taking...
I don't think that's a fetish.
Wait. Hold on.
Okay, all right.
You're taking someone who is multifaceted and basically boundless. Like, he has so many aspects about him and you're shrinking it down to... physical, carnal, just opinions. You're taking the humanity out of him by saying those things.
Okay, what's the definition of a fetish to you?
Well, that's fetish and fetishizing are two different things. But a fetish is something that is sexually arousing, something that you like. It's basically taking something you like and turning it up to 100.
Right. So by saying that this man that I find attractive, I want to have his babies, is that taking it to a
But you head? Don't. But see, yes, because you don't know him.
So, Alex.
And all you're talking about is his physical attributes and what you want him to, what you want to do to him or what you want him to do to you. That is fetishizing.
Okay. But is that not lusting over someone?
Yes. Yeah. Like,
so it's lust over and fetishizing the same thing?
No.
So what is I don't understand the difference.
So the fetish part comes from that, like, it being a singular person, like Denzel, like, what's his name? Michael B. Jordan. Because there's so many people doing it just to him, and now he's just a thing. He's not a person.
I disagree, but we can agree to disagree, and we're going to move on for the sake of time. Okay. What about a queen of spades? Have y'all heard of that term?
No.
Mm-mm.
So this goes back into, like, the fetishization. I can't even say the word.
Fetishization?
Yeah, of black men. So a queen of spades is a white woman who typically prefers bulls, so young, athletic, hung men, and, like, usually only... has sex with, like, black men. So, like, one of those people who, like, exclusive, and usually it's kind of, so from the outside looking in, like, as a black woman, to me it seems a little bit derogatory, like, even the terminology of it, queen of spades, like, I'm saying I'm the ruler of these people, but the term spade, like, is a slang term that has been, like, used to negatively like a derogatory term for black people anyway. So just the name of it kind of throws me off. But then, like, the whole culture of it is a little bit weird for me, period.
Yeah. Well, as a black man, you have to look out for that. Now, there are some guys who aren't as smart as others, and they fall into those traps, and they think it's cool because, you know, this woman likes them. But I am someone who's very wary of that. I don't have any preference as far as race goes for someone I would date, but because it's so prevalent, I actually look at white women in a very biased fashion when they show interest in me, because mm-hmm. I don't know how genuine it is.
Yeah. So like, kind of backtracking, like, real quick. So, like, part of my preference goes back to that, because, like, I've had an instance of that, and that shit just rode me, like, all the way wrong. So, I don't know. I don't think nothing wrong with having a preference. It's just, like, don't be, like, racist about it. And I don't think what me and Key described was that. Okay. So, emotionally and spiritually. What?
That was just funny how you threw that in there.
What?
I'm so sorry. Real quick.
I'm going to say this.
I know, right? For the Twitter argument, what happened was she was saying that she was talking about if you won't, as a straight woman, if you do not date a bisexual man, it is not because you have a preference. It's because you're biphobic. And what she was saying was the whole preference thing, because basically you're only not dating that man because he also used to or actively dates men, and that therefore you're biphobic. So it was crazy. Like, it was real wild. I feel like it was super, like, heavy, like, overgeneralized a little bit, but I understood what she was saying. That's what I want to say. All right, boom.
Well, on that, that's not fair, because that's just a small population of people.
That's saying what you were saying, though.
What you mean, a small population of people?
Right.
How many bi...
please don't.
Like, bi men? Like, I feel like that's a very... Yes.
It doesn't matter.
I've lived all my life, and I still have... Well, no. I've only encountered one bi man.
I feel has to do with your...
But if they're not open, then how do you... Like, you can't have a preference towards them because you don't even know. So I feel like that's a very small sample size to say someone's biphobic.
But same time, it doesn't matter how big or how small the population is, because what you said is a preference is one over the other, while the other thing is if you're completely like, no, I won't do it, then that's no longer a preference. But those were the words.
Yeah, I guess that's fine.
Yeah, that's what you just said.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to move on. So spiritually and emotionally. So, you know, I always see those posts like, tell a black man you love him today. Send a black man some nudes. Like, besides...
I'm on board for that.
I'm with you.
But like, what else though? Like, what do y'all think is a good way to like help support our men like emotionally and spiritually?
I think one way I support the black men in my life that are my friends, I always let them know, like, because I always have some emotional stuff I'm going through. So I always, like, from the beginning, always just say it's a safe place. So anytime they have something to say, whether it be like them being vulnerable emotionally or whatever, they just know that, okay, this is a place where I can say what I have to say, no judgment, we can talk about it, or if you want me to just listen, I'm here to just listen. But just giving them that platform to know, okay, but also like say it, but mean it. A lot of people are always like, oh, I'm here for you. Right. And then when you need them, they gone, they not there. But actually saying it and meaning. So if they say, hey, can I talk? Even maybe going a little bit more like, hey, yeah, I'll reach out or like call them. Say, hey, you know, what's going on and stuff like that, so they can feel like it's okay to open up, even if it's just this one person. But I'm also all for therapy, and not saying that I throw therapy down everybody's throat, but I just try and normalize it as best as I can.
And like, honestly, I feel like therapy should be thrown down everybody's throat. Like, everyone could benefit from a therapist. Like, I wish it was more widely available and more affordable for a lot more people, but a lot of people could benefit from a therapist. And I think that's a good transition into like mental health for black men. Any comments before we get into like some statistics of not only mental health in general and mental health in the black community, but mental health specifically among black men?
Yeah, sure. I wanted to go back to that previous question. what we can do for Black men is more of, yeah, like the safe space thing is along the lines of what I'm trying to say, but mm-hmm. just allow them to be multifaceted, like challenge yeah. them to, you know, not just be about like, if you only talk about one thing with a person, then that's essentially just a wasted conversation. Like you have to be able to talk about so many different things with people so that they can open up, share their thoughts and their feelings. So the ideas can spread, ideas can grow, people can grow. And so with Black men, a lot of times we fall into roles with people in our lives because, you know, there's just a lot of things that we have on our mind and a lot of responsibilities we have either to ourselves, our families, or what have you. So challenging that system and allowing them to, you know, be multifaceted, even in conversation and the dynamics between you and that Black man can help and go far for them.
I think that makes sense. But I feel like sometimes like it's hard to get people to open up. Like people open up on their own time, but a lot of not just Black men, but men in general have this like shell around it. Like emotions, never met her, don't know that. Like,
yeah, that's fine. And I think a good tip I would think is like, if like conversations are really one tracked with this Black man, just throw a random question out there. Something conceptual, like one of my favorite questions that y'all can answer is like, would you rather fight a cow-sized pigeon or 100 pigeon-sized cows? And then ask why, like why they gave their answer. Because there's no right answer. I mean, there is a right answer, but
there's
a right answer.
Would I rather
it's 100 cows and it's not even close.
Would I rather do what?
Fight one cow-sized pigeon or 100 pigeon-sized cows?
One cow-sized pigeon.
No, that's insane. You're
talking cow-sized. So the pigeon is bigger than a cow.
Yes. Why are we fighting?
Or 100 pigeon-sized cows?
Yes.
Oh, okay. 100 pigeon-sized cows because I can just shoot them.
Sure. That's why I'm like, do I have a weapon and can it shoot a cow?
But yeah, but regardless, that's, you know, that could be something like you just ask them and it may feel random and they be like, may ask questions, why are you asking this? But just, it could open you up to learning about how they think, or it can open up a conversation about how you would, you know, go about handling this obstacle. You know, it's,
yeah, it's like an interview question though.
Wait a minute. Do pigeons fly or no?
Yes.
Yeah, they do.
Could you imagine a cow-sized pigeon flying?
I'm gonna do that thing. I'd rather have one cow-sized pigeon.
That's the wrong answer.
Because I only gotta shoot one thing, like instead of 100 things coming at me at the same time.
She got a point.
No, she doesn't.
I do.
But that's the wrong answer. You said there's no wrong answer.
Right.
Look, but that is the wrong answer.
No. give me a bazooka and give me one cow-sized pigeon.
What if you miss?
I got plenty of, give me a semi-automatic rifle.
What if you miss?
Bro, it's a semi-automatic rifle.
But like she said, would you rather shoot at one thing or 100 things?
Right, what if you miss 100 times and you shooting 100 things? I have a greater chance of hitting this one thing than 100 things.
That can fly.
I don't care.
Wait. Or 100 pigeon-sized cows?
Yes.
I feel like we're spending way too much
time. Okay, I see what you mean, because the 100 things can't fly, but they can run around.
Right, cows are pretty quick. No, birds are pretty quick. I'm quick, hell.
Are cows quick?
Girl, yeah, cows be knocking people down. Like, have you ever seen somebody try to go cow tipping?
No.
Like, knocking over cows while they sleeping and shit. They be getting mauled, like, mauled over.
I've never seen anyone go cow tipping.
Well, you know I'm from the country, but still.
Y'all went bro, where did you go tip a
cow? Well, you know, down the road from my mama's house, like, halfway, I ain't gonna be doing all this. But, like, there's some cows down the road. Have I touched a cow? No. I have no desire to touch no cows. But,
you know. I'm weak. I used to do that on a car. Okay, anyway, sorry.
All right. So, Alex, before we get into like the statistics and stuff, how do you feel about mental? So two-part question: mental health care in general, and then maybe mental health care in general in the Black community, and then specifically for men.
Well, it's lacking on both fronts. We definitely need more therapists that look like us, more psychologists that look like us, more psychiatrists that look like us. And the access with more people that look like us, it comes a little bit more access. I've been very fortunate. I have a Black therapist, and I have insurance that covers it 100%. So I'm pretty fortunate, but it wasn't necessarily easy to find him. And at first he didn't even take my insurance, but he specifically did everything he needed to do to make sure he took my insurance so that I didn't have to pay.
That's good. So I feel like definitely the exception.
Yeah. But also one thing I want to say to people, this may be jumping ahead a little bit, but also look into your place of employment, because a lot of places of employment have EAP, and you could go 5 to 10 times to a therapist in your company.
Can you explain EAP?
What?
Can you explain EAP? Some people
might EAP is an employee assistance program where if you look into it, contact your HR department. They may offer, you know, a number of mental health care sessions per year or per event. Like, let's say, like the company I work for, they offer 5 per year. So I went ahead and used my 5. And then my place of employment got robbed. So then I got 5 more.
Oh, that's so, what's up. Yeah. It's robbed season. But like you said, so I have a quick, like some facts from the CDC and other reputable resources. So just in general, the Black population makes up like 13.4% of the U.S. population, so about 46 million people. One in five Black people have lived in poverty as of 2018, and probably even more with the coronavirus. And we know that poverty in and of itself is a risk factor for mental health conditions. So Black people living below the poverty line are twice as likely to report serious psychological distress compared to those living above the poverty level. And we know just in general that compared to other races in the population, Black people, even though we are less of the population, oftentimes because of multiple reasons, have a greater wealth gap than the rest of the population. Any comments on that before I kind of go for it?
No, I think that's all really great information.
All right. So adult Black people usually have more feelings of sadness, hopelessness, and worthlessness compared to adult whites. Blacks and African Americans are less likely to die from suicide at all ages when compared to whites. However, Black teenagers are more likely to attempt than white teenagers. And unfortunately, the statistic is growing, the amount of Black people that die by suicide. And language really matters, and I'll get into that later, like the language that we use to describe mental health things. Woo! Okay. As of 2016, 16% of the American Black people have a mental illness. So that's about 4.8 million people. And then of that percentage, 22.4 have a serious mental illness. And serious mental illness is usually reported in the literature of like a psychotic illness or a mood disorder, like bipolar disorder, or like depression with psychotic features or something like that. So around 1.1 million people. So out of all that, there's still like this enormous like mental health stigma. So like just listening to those numbers alone, like if you do have like any type of mental disorder, so just back to the general population, 1 in 5 people in the United States has a mental health condition, 20% of people. So you're definitely not alone. And we're going to talk about Black men specifically, but the statistics are even worse. Key, you want to get into that?
Sure. So among men with daily feelings of anxiety, depression, non-Hispanic white men, 43% were more likely than non-Hispanic Black men and Hispanic men to have used either of these mental health treatments.
What? And that was medications and therapy.
Okay. Among uninsured men aged 18 to 44 with daily feelings of anxiety or depression, non-Hispanic white men, 39.3%, were three times as likely as non-Hispanic Black and Hispanic men, 12.7%, to have used mental health treatments. This disparity was significantly smaller for men aged 18 to 44 who had health insurance coverage.
So just kind of in summary, so non-Hispanic Black men and Hispanic men were more likely to have symptoms, but less likely to seek treatment, especially when they're uninsured. When they were insured, that gap kind of decreased. But as we already know, the amount of Black people who have insurance is significantly less than the general population. And there are several barriers to why mental health isn't as highly sought after in the Black community, or even sometimes when it is sought after, treated appropriately. So Alex mentioned earlier access. So like insurance, having insurance that actually pays for your stuff is a big barrier. So access, if we can improve access to not only like financially, but like you said, having more people that look like us, I think would make the system more accessible, because you kind of have an inherent, maybe this is just me, but like maybe an inherent like faith in the person's like capabilities. I don't know.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Okay. And then stigma. So this is not, so stigma exists about mental health like globally. Then like bring it down to like what our episode is about, Black people in general. Like nobody talks about mental health. Like I haven't talked about somebody having a mental health condition my whole life until I went to graduate school. I had a cousin that had like some psychotic episode, and they're like, oh, he just got into some, you know, some bad drugs and stuff like that. Like people do not acknowledge mental health. I don't know if that's the same for y'all and y'all's family, but.
And y'all's family, I'm weak.
What? I mean, I know we in the same family, but I'm, you know.
I feel you. I feel like in my family, I also don't necessarily speak about mental health. Well, I used to not speak about it because it was just kind of like, at the time I was an undergrad, I'm like, okay, well, this is how I feel, but maybe, you know, maybe I am what all my friends are saying. Maybe I'm just feeling lazy and stuff like that. So I didn't really talk about it until like my last semester. It just got really dark for me, and I did talk to my parents about it and stuff like that. And we discuss it more now. I feel open to talk about it, but I feel like when it comes to society overall, it's always like a joke made about somebody's mental health. Like it's always, oh, it's like something like, oh, I tried to get to the bank today, but they closed 5 minutes early. Oh my gosh, I'm so depressed. Or whether it's bipolar, or oh, I'm not crazy. I'm like, it's like, this is not stuff to make jokes about. Like,
and the thing is, like, and I tell this to like when I have learners, like students and stuff all the time, like, we don't make jokes about cancer, we don't make jokes about heart disease. Like, why do we think it's okay to make jokes about mental illness?
Right.
Because stigma, and I don't know why people think it's funny. I don't think it's funny. Like, and then for us, people be like, oh, I'm OCD. Like, it's just for everything. Like, chill, relax. Like,
oh, yeah, I hate that.
That like, so you don't even know what OCD means. No, so, like, let's relax.
Or one other thing I hate is when they're in a small space, like, I'm feeling claustrophobic. Like, that's a completely different thing than just feeling uncomfortable around people in a small space.
Right. Yeah. Just, I don't know how we got to this point, but why mental health is like a joke, and there's like a really good TED Talk. I should have looked up the link to this before, but if you like TED Talks or whatever, you can look up mental health stigma TED Talk, and it's this lady, like, she starts off with a joke and then everybody laughs, and she was like, see, like, it's not funny. Like, she basically like checked them like right after they said the joke, and that shit, like, it resonated with me because, like, I just really don't understand why it's a joke. And I think a large part of why we can attribute it to a joke, because we brush it off like, oh, it's just all in your head. Like, oh, it's something you can just quickly get over versus, yeah, things that we take more seriously. So,
I will say, earlier you were talking about access related to insurance. And I will say, even though this episode is about protecting Black men, I will just say, my therapist that I have, who is a Black woman, I do not have insurance right now. So depending on where you live, sometimes the county can get insurance through the state. Well, it's called state insurance. So that's something, if you're listening and you currently don't have insurance, you can definitely call up your county department and ask them about what insurance they may have and resources with mental health. Yep.
And
absolutely. And also, sorry, open enrollment is just around the corner for the affordable care marketplace. So at least go on there and put information in so that you can at least see what you can get. Like, that's how I got my insurance. And I kind of gamed the system a little bit. Don't tell nobody. But I'm getting a very, very good insurance for a very, very low rate. So definitely go on the marketplace, put in the information. Also, filter it by what you need. Don't just take whatever they say you need. Say, okay, if you want a low deductible, say you want a low deductible. If you want, I typed in low deductible, zero mental health, and I got the insurance that I have now. So use that marketplace before it's gone, because it might be gone very soon.
And then, like, when you're in the marketplace, know what the terms are that you are filtering by, like deductible. If you don't know what a deductible is, you need to look at that before you start adjusting your monthly rates based on the deductible.
And you want your deductibles low. I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Yes. So access. So you brought up a good point. So I like to mention that that's for every state and every county have a health department that you can go through. And they usually have a state-funded mental health program that does cover people who do not have insurance. And it's basically mandatory that they have it. So look into that.
Yep.
So more barriers, discrimination, even when people seek out mental health services. So more recently there was this whole movement. I know we're talking about men, but like, oh, the strong Black woman. Like, why are we always describing Black women as strong? And does that prevent us from being able to express when we're not strong, like when we're having a moment of weakness? So I think some of it is discrimination from healthcare providers. So like, let's say, oh, I have this woman who comes into my office and yeah, she's been like a little bit sad, but is it depression? I don't know. Like, I'll just send her out and wait and see what happens. Like, so I think a lot of providers like maybe having some of those stereotypes too, like thinking, oh, strong Black women, they handle everything. They're tough. Black women are going to save us, blah, blah, blah. But just not saying that's the mindset of healthcare providers when you walk in the office. But for sometimes some of those stereotypes can come up. And I'm trying to think of the name of it, like when you don't mean to discriminate, but you do it anyway. Oh, implicit bias.
Yeah.
Implicit bias is a factor. And general distrust. Yeah, what you were going to say?
I was just thinking about that overall, because of course I feel like with mental health period, like across the board, people don't realize that if Alex, I'm not even going to say that. So if person A is depressed and person B is depressed, they might not look this, like, you know, you don't, right. Depression doesn't look the same in everybody,
right?
So,
and depression can be the happiest person in the room, like, exactly. The happiest person.
Exactly. So, just because, oh, you're not depressed because da 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 da, maybe I just like to laugh at my problems. That doesn't mean I don't have them. So, it's just,
right,
I feel like whenever somebody is coming to anyone and trying to have that safe place and open up about how they feel, it's important to put your judgments to the side and try not to judge what they're saying and try to inaccurately invalidate how they feel.
Yeah.
Because that is also just as dangerous.
Yeah. And I think everyone, if not free, which it should be, mental health first aid is a program that I think everyone should take, especially, I mean, not even especially, like everyone in general. You're going to run into people. You're going to interact with people in your daily life. 20% of the population has some type of mental health condition. So everyone can benefit from mental health first aid. Unfortunately, it's not free, but I think some jobs do offer it. Especially like if you work in a healthcare setting, I feel like if you have access to it, you should take it. So general distrust of the healthcare system amongst Black people, like we've talked about this before, like we have plenty of reasons to distrust the system, but it also does act as a barrier to receiving care. And then the last one I have listed, but I'm pretty sure that there's multiple, lack of diversity in healthcare. And Alex kind of touched on this earlier, like we need more therapists that look like us. We need more psychiatrists that look like us. We need more mental health techs that look like us, more social workers, like, because there are like these specific nuances that may not translate. So I'll give an example. We had this patient who was psychotic on our, let me just be HIPAA compliant. We had a psychotic patient. She had natural hair. We have products that do not, like hair products that do not work for her hair. Like, so they were trying to like detangle her hair and do all kind of stuff with these products. I'm like, this is not going to work. So I feel like if we had more people in those spaces to kind of speak to those nuanced issues, like it's better for our patients overall. And right now we don't have enough.
I feel that. You know what? I also feel like as far as stigmas, when it comes to psychiatric hospitals, we need to stop calling it the crazy house.
In the ward, that shit, I don't know what it is about saying the psych ward that annoys my spirit, but it does.
Because it has such a negative connotation. Like, oh, everybody's in there with, when I tell you, I don't know why, but growing up, I just knew, okay, there's padded rooms, you're in a straight jacket type of stuff. And then growing up, I'm like, you know, I used to be a mental health technician. I'm like, this is not in any way that. So I definitely, that just goes to the stigma that people crave.
Yeah. And you know what? A lot of people listening may not even know that. Like, because if you haven't been there or know somebody has been there or visited somebody, you get your sources from media. And there's plenty. We had a class in grad school that we watched movies, and the way that they portray mental illness in movies leads to and like emphasizes these stigmas, and they are based off of these stigmas. So like it being dark, looking all broke down, people in straight jackets, drooling, stuff like that. That's not how it looks. And I think it contributes to the stigma. So there's a movie, like an infamous movie, The One Who Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really old movie where the guy, he was like faking his psychosis to be admitted to the hospital. And like, even now, so in that movie, he received a treatment called electroconvulsive therapy, or ECT. And we have patients to this day that are afraid to get ECT, and their families are afraid because of that movie. And it's something that at the time they may really need, but refuse because of like how they associate with it. Yeah. And I just think those stigmas and can be really dangerous, not only for people with mental illness, but for the people taking care of them or associating with them.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
But okay, any other barriers that y'all can think of that we didn't hit on?
I mean, there's personal barriers there. Yeah. You have to, which I guess is more of a case of society not, you know, making stigma. It more comfortable. Yeah, the stigma and society not making it comfortable for people to want that. But yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it starts within, for sure.
Yeah, like if I'm seeking mental health, like, and then like if I'm seeking health care, I must be weak. But actually, no, for you to actually reach out, especially to strangers, like that takes a lot of strength to be able to know when you need help and know to go get it. I don't know.
That's true, because although there is that stigma as far as anybody, but specifically Black men, there is the stigma like, okay, be strong, pray about it. Some people do have their own personal reasons why they do not want to reach out for help. I don't know. It's kind of like one of those, what came first, chicken or the egg? Like, okay, did you have that before and then society just added to it, or did society tell you that and now you internalized it? But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that can be problematic in and of itself for multiple other reasons. Like, why can't you do the both? Why can't you pray and go to therapy? Like, it's not mutually exclusive. And before we kind of like wrap up on that section, we wanted to provide some resources that are person of color, Black men friendly, Black women friendly. BEAM, so Black Emotional and Mental Health Collective. And all of these, we can provide a link to these resources, but they're just resources. Like, if you don't know where to start, like, all of this is new to you, just some places to kind of get connected. Some of these are communities. Some of these are resources where you can find a provider, but just a kind of plethora. And I'll just run through quickly some of the names, and we'll provide a link. So Black Men Heal. So that is a free mental health service that supports Black men. Black Mental Health Alliance. Black Mental Wellness, Black Women's Health Imperative, some of the bigger names, Brother, You're On My Mind. So that was launched by a member of the Omega Sci-Fi fraternity, and it has an online toolkit for Black men. Henry Health, they have teletherapy, which is pretty important for people right now. Melanin and Mental Health, so they cater to both Black and Latino communities. Sister Ava is another organization, Therapy for Black Girls. That's one of the more well-known names that I've kind of heard of. It's an online space, kind of like chat rooms and support. And then Unapologetically Us. So that one is another community for Black women, but we'll leave a link for all of that.
Yes.
Yes, resources. And another very important number. So if you know somebody that is in crisis, there is a national hotline that they can reach out to, and it's the National Suicide Hotline, and that exists not only in the United States, but in other countries as well. And if you're listening from another country, that number is different, but this is a number that I just keep in my phone, because like, you never know when you can use it for yourself, when you can use it for someone else, when it's an opportune time to share, like right now. So that number is 1-800-273-8255, and that's the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 24 hours a day. They do have English, Spanish, and other languages. You can also chat with them or go to their website, like a kind of text chat, but they will kind of talk to you if you're in distress and crisis and connect you with resources.
Nice.
All right.
You know what? I'm not going to hold you. I feel like you just said that. Never mind.
What?
Never mind.
Do it.
So I was saying, at one point, I remember I had a really, really low point. My therapist, it was outside of my like therapy call hours, and I did not want to call a hotline, because I'm like, I used to work in a call center type like that, like the what they call whatever. So
mobile crisis,
that whole process. So I did text somebody one time, but they really pissed me off. So say, like, because you can always like disconnect from them and like start another one. I had to disconnect from sis, because I was like, sis, you're not helping out at all. Like, I feel like she was not even reading the text messages.
Lord.
Like, I was just like, I just said that. And I do not like to repeat myself, especially when I'm already feeling some type of way.
Like, yeah.
Yes. I was like, all right, sis. Like, I'm going to let you
know. What? Maybe you should find another job, because this ain't it.
Because this ain't it. But I would have to say, whenever you are reaching out to those people, if you get someone and y'all don't connect or you don't feel like they're listening to you, don't take that. Well, I'm not going to tell you how to feel, but if you feel as if it is more so hurting you than helping you, don't try not to overgeneralize that whole experience. That just might be that one person. So although it's really hard to reach out the first time to get the help that you need or that you would like, just try to reach out again and you'll get somebody different. And although we might not like to talk about the same situation multiple times, it might be beneficial too.
I agree with it. Yeah. And you want to move on to the Zodiac stuff?
What's your Zodiac song?
What's that number one Zodiac sign? So it's Scorpio season. Oh. Scorpios is not the number one Zodiac sign. They cool though. So my best friend, her birthday is tomorrow. And she's a Scorpio. So the dates for Scorpio season are October 23rd through November 21st. They're a water sign.
Are they really?
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that. Like, I would have guessed fire.
Fire sign.
Like, Scorpio seemed like it's supposed to be fire.
That's crazy.
Alex, any thoughts?
No.
What's your sign?
I'm a Taurus.
We actually kind of get along if we were to ever actually meet.
Yeah, I get along with Taurus people too. I think you're also an Earth sign. I'm an Earth sign. Quality fixed, so like more stubborn. Their strengths include being resourceful, brave, passionate, stubborn, and this website said a true friend. Weaknesses: distrusting, jealous, secretive, and violent. Likes truth. So this is to the point again where I'm like, duh, everybody likes this. It said truth, facts, being right, long-term friends, teasing. Like, what do you mean? Like, I like truth. Like, I don't know. Dislikes, dishonesty, revealing secrets, and passive people. Any thoughts for Scorpio people in your life? Do you have any like Scorpio friends?
I don't. Well, one of my sisters, her birthday's tomorrow too, and she's really down for like, huh?
I said gang, gang, gang,
gang, gang, gang. She's actually, I wouldn't categorize her as a quote unquote normal Scorpio because she's like super down to earth, like she sis be chilling. But then there's this one dude. But you know, there's definitely a difference between the men and women Zodiac.
I feel like we might have the same experience. Go ahead though.
I'm weak. So the dude, like, he is super aggressive.
Yes, like it does not take all that.
In all aspects, like sexually aggressive, like, dude, I do not want to talk to you about anything sexual. We are just friends. Please leave
goodbye
me respectfully. And it's just like, he's so hot and cold. It might just be him though.
Yeah, no. Okay, so this person that I know, like, they're also real hot or real cold. Like, if you make them mad about anything, it could be very minor, like completely off. Like, what? Like, I'm confused. Like, very stubborn, smart though, good with money, and we get along like from that aspect, but like just very hot and very cold, like you is or you ain't, and it just switched just like that, and I don't know why.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah. Alex?
Yes. I feel like
you don't be caring about Zodiac sign.
No, I don't at all.
Whatever. I feel like
I wasn't trying to step on y'all's little segment, so
I feel like he high key don't be caring, but
honestly, like we said before in another episode, everybody is just everybody. Like,
I feel but like people be fitting,
but I think that's just coincidence because I'm a Cancer and. Yes, I can be emotional, but don't make it seem like I got a paper cut and now I'm gonna cry for the next 10 days.
No, I feel like I feel like Cancers are like more verbal about their emotions. And I feel like I've guessed that people are Cancers before.
Ooh.
Not trying to come at y'all at all. Yes, girl, call me Miss Cleo in this thing. Like, I don't know. But I don't know, I feel like I can like accurately guess people's signs sometimes. Alex, I think I guessed yours before. Like,
you didn't. You guessed wrong.
Oh,
you're lying.
No, I'm not.
What
I said was,
I don't remember, but you didn't get it right.
How you gonna say I didn't if you don't remember?
I remember it wasn't right.
Yeah, yeah. He lying, y'all. But anyway, global trappings, there's hella shit going on. In Africa, NSARS. Have y'all heard about the NSARS movement?
Y'all.
Yeah.
So going on in Nigeria. So what is SARS? So Special Anti-Robbery Squad, established in the 1992. So it was created to help fight armed robberies. And like they were kind of, when they were established, they were given like a wide range of powers that weren't well regulated. So a lot of the SARS officers now like don't even wear badges, don't wear uniforms. So they just pull up on you and like supposed to be authority. So it's like what do they call police officers that don't wear unarmed, ununiformed?
Unmarked.
Yeah. Officer just walking up to you and like demanding shit, which I mean, that's setting people up for failure. And then like, because of that, like they don't wear badges or name tags or uniforms. There's been hella instances of like fake officers, like coming up and just robbing people and doing whatever. So they're committing some of the same crimes that they were set up to protect people against. The Amnesty International documented at least 82 cases of police brutality in Nigeria between 2017 to 2020. And I feel like anytime people are reporting police brutality numbers, is greatly underestimated. And there was also a report published in June of this year, and it said that some of the people in SARS custody have been subjected to various methods of torture, including hanging, mock execution, beating, burning with cigarettes, waterboarding, choking, like even with plastic bags, sexual activities and sexual violence. Like, it's just wild. I feel like they're in a similar situation, if not worse, than we are with our police system right now.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, it's crazy out here.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then another global trappening. So in Asia, carbon emissions, you know, it's pretty bad. It's a bad thing. So it's contributing to global warming. Japan, which is the world's fifth biggest emitter of carbon dioxide, their prime minister has set a goal to have zero emissions, which is a pretty big deal, and have a carbon neutral society by 2050, which seems like a long time, but it's just astronomical, the amount of carbon monoxide that we're pumping into the atmosphere. So the world's biggest producer is China, followed by the United States, India, Russia, and then Japan. So hopefully with some of these other countries following that pattern, maybe the U.S. will commit to a similar policy within the future. China has also pledged to be carbon neutral by 2060. So we're trying to make the world a better place, even though like it's a dumpster fire or whatever, whatever. So United States, speaking of dumpster fires, we are about to have the election. We touched on that. This tweet you sent me about Wayne earlier, like, Wayne already been fucking up. He was on our canceled episode. But, like, can you, like, discuss this fuckery you sent me?
So, basically, he's canceled as he has been for the last couple years. So, let me find it. He tweeted, and I quote, just had a great meeting with real Donald Trump at POTUS. Besides what, first of all, he didn't even, you know what, whatever. This is what he said. Besides what he's done so far with the criminal reform, the Platinum Plan is going to give the community real ownership. He listened to what we had to say today and assured he will and can get it done.
And then up here posing with him and everything. Like, now is not the time. We need everybody to get out and vote based on your current experiences. We don't need votes on promises of what you can do when you have 4 years to do it. And that's all I'm going to say on it.
I mean, he's really just protecting his interests with the continued tax breaks he's going to have.
Yeah. But I'm like, damn, like, really? We were just saying that, too, before, like, we started this episode, but, like, it's so fucked up. Like, you are a black man at the end of the day, and you willing to say fuck all that for some tax money, basically.
Yeah, we're talking about millions, though.
I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't know. I just
sell out.
You already have millions. Like,
yeah, but when you have millions, you want to keep those millions. I mean, I'm not saying he's right. I'm just saying I get it. And no, I get it. Like, why he would do it. I'm not. I hope that if I was in the same position, I wouldn't do it. But that's I think that's his motivation for doing it.
But it's so fucked up because, like, the people that got you these millions are black, and mm-hmm. so that don't matter. That don't mean nothing.
I mean, ask him.
I mean, I wouldn't do it. Obviously.
Louisiana, you know, be in the you fucking cool.
Right. We see F baby in the F is for you fucking cool. Like, really though? Like, and I used to rock, I think I'm more upset because, like, for the longest, like, all through middle school, high school, Lil Wayne was my favorite rapper. And, like, just progressively over the years, he's just, like, proven himself to be trash when it comes to the black community time after time. And it's just, like, maybe I'm having trouble accepting it, but, like, damn. Like, you just keep disappointing me. But whatever. Also, in the same boat, Ice-T up here taking pictures with the y'all president, and Kanye up here. I put all them together because, like, basically all y'all are doing are taking votes away from the Democratic Party for this election. And y'all need to stop. Do that on y'all own time, not during the election year. And yeah. That's on people. So also all these damn hurricanes. So we dealing with Zeta right now. It's been raining all day, but more importantly, people in Louisiana, Alabama, some more of the southern states have, you know, been kind of hit pretty. They've been going through this year. Like, so this is the most active hurricane season on record. We done smashed through the usual names, and we have gone through the Greek alphabet. Like, we're on Zeta now, which is rare that this happens. And I thought it'd be kind of good, since we've been having so many hurricanes, to know what the warnings and stuff mean. So when we have a hurricane warning, what does that mean to you? Exactly.
Warning. Yeah, I don't really. Today actually kind of good.
Like, this is important. So, like, I always get confused by, like, what's a warning and what's a watch. So,
oh, okay. Okay, you got it? Okay, cool.
No, go ahead.
So, from my understanding, a warning means that it's all of the factors necessary to create a storm like that is around. So a storm can be imminent, and then a watch means the storm has been in some area and it's moving towards your area.
See, that's actually backwards, and I always get them switched up. Yeah.
Oh, so okay.
A watch indicates the possibility that a region could experience a hurricane conditions within 48 hours. So maybe it'll happen 48 hours. We'll see. A warning indicates that sustained winds of at least 74 miles per hour, which is the definition of a hurricane, are expected within 36 hours. So I think those are important definitions to kind of know, like, should I be worried or should I not? And this year we've had hella opportunities to know, especially if you're in the South. If you're in the North, you really got to worry about it. But it's been hella hurricanes lately. And Alice, this might tickle your fancy, a sporting thing. So boxing legends Mike Tyson and Roy Jones are set to square up at the Staples Center on 11/28. It's going to be no fans because, like, hashtag Rona. But it seems like this was something that was already scheduled, but it just had to be rescheduled because of COVID. But I didn't know about that. I thought that would be cool to, like, watch.
Tyson's looking really good too. I've been watching his training videos. I'm definitely going to bet on him to win this. I mean, but he's probably going to be the favorite anyway, so I'm not going to win a lot of money. But I mean, I was never old enough to bet on Tyson when he was fighting. So this is my chance.
So betting, and that's your thing?
Yeah, I love, I'm like basically a degenerate, and I love betting on sports. Actually, in my home state of Tennessee, sports sports betting will be legal on November 1st. So shout out to that.
Oh, we.
So it's illegal to bet on the game?
Is that game?
Yes. What? Yes.
How is that?
Whatever. It's just not legal in my state.
Oh.
It's legal other places, but it's not legal in my state. Mm.
But yeah, that's all the sports we got. We don't do sports here. If you want sports, go listen to the In My Bag podcast. And I think we're good to wrap up, you know?
Happy Halloween!
Oh, yeah. So Halloween is Saturday. Y'all dressing up?
No.
Of course not.
I really wanted to, but I'm not. Instead, I am going to spend the day watching Halloween movies and
Because I know you got to say something about that movie. What's the movie you be talking about? And I don't ever know.
What? Twilight?
No. Halloween City.
Halloween Town?
Oh, yeah. Halloween Town.
You never seen Halloween Town?
No.
Wow.
I don't watch movies. Or especially scary movies.
That's a hot take. I don't watch movies.
I have ADHD.
Okay.
Good day, sir.
There's plenty of movies that can keep your attention.
How you gonna tell me is my attention?
I'm weak.
But all right. So we're gonna wrap out. I'm Kay.
I'm Key.
And we got Alex with us of the In My Bag podcast. Y'all go check them out. All right, we out.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Go Vols.
All right, bye. Bye y'all.